right, we come here this morning to worship God. But what is God like? Well, we're going to sing a song which tells us what God is like, which Nick really loves. You see, he's smiling. It's called Our God is a Great Big God. It's got actions. I'm sure you all know the actions, but it's Our God is a Great Big God. Our God is a Great Big God. Our God is a Great Big God, and he holds us in his hands. He's higher than a... And deeper than a... He's wider than the...
universe.
How do you do that? Is that just...
universe.
And beyond our wildest dreams. And he knows me, us, you, all of us. And he loves us. And he... I can't remember the rest. But you all know the actions. Just join in. Let's stand together and sing. I wonder how you arrived this morning, how you came here. I have a little bag with me, and in it I have shoes. And I was wondering how you came this morning by the shoes that you're wearing. So, is there anyone here this morning who has a pair of walking boots on? Because they strode up the road with great gusto, maybe going for a little hike beforehand. Anyone? No. Okay. No one with the walking boots. Okay, anyone got boots on? Not walking boots, just a pair of boots. Sunny, but they thought there might be a chill in the air. There's a few nods, a couple of nods, a little hand there. Okay, some of you have boots on. Yeah? Brilliant. Okay. Anyone arrive in their slippers this morning? Because they just thought... You did?
No.
No. Oh. Did they think, I can't really be bothered, my slippers are comfy, I'll just, no one will know. But they will, because Kate's now pointing it out. No one in slippers. Oh well. Anyone in their trainers this morning? Yes, oh quite a few. Those of you who are eager for exercise, is that what this means? No, just comfortable.
You are.
Okay, anyone arrive? Oh yes, anyone arrive in some fancy shoes. I mean, if you're a man, they might be slightly different from this. But, you know, posh shoes, smart shoes. No, yes. We've got one person, wonderful. Anyone at all? John at the back, yeah. A few people. Okay. What about anyone come in their flip-flops thinking, oh, it's summer. I'll just put my sandals on. Anyone? Got sandals? Summer shoes. Okay, we'll class it in summer shoes. Few of you. I feel you might be a bit previous, but you need to enjoy the weather while it's here. Okay, so we've got a selection. Anyone arrive in anything else that I haven't mentioned? Sorry? High heels. Oh, Sylvia. Sylvia's coming in high heels. Anyone else? You got high heels too? Wonderful. Oh, anyone come in their socks? Oh, yes, socks. Oh, and there's another one. Anyone with bare feet? No, okay, no bare feet. Well, the thing is, we come in lots of different shoes because we've done lots of different things before we arrive, or we're going to do lots of different things afterwards, and we dress for different occasions. But the thing is, at this moment in time, we have gathered for a specific occasion, and we've all come in different ways, different shoes on our feet, but we're here now, and we're here to meet with God, and we do that while we share communion. Now, I want to tell you a story about people who also had to wear things on their feet because they were walking as well. Talking and walking. Walking and talking. The two men travelled from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It was a long journey on foot, and because the two men were followers of Jesus, there was plenty to talk about, like the rumour that some of his friends had seen him alive again after he had died. So talking and walking and talking, they made their way. Then a stranger joined them. I hear you talking. I see you walking, said the stranger. You sound excited. What are you talking about? We're talking about Jesus, said the two men. And then talking and walking and walking and talking, He explained. Jesus was a prophet, sent from God. He did amazing things. Many of us thought he was the special one that God had promised. But the religious leaders sentenced him to death. The Romans killed him on a cross, and all our hopes died. That was 3 days ago. But this morning, some of the women who went to visit his tomb thought that there was no body there. Better still, an angel told them that Jesus was alive. The stranger listened carefully. And then talking and walking and walking and talking, he told the two men what he thought. "You sound surprised," he said. "Isn't that what the prophet said would happen to this special one? If this Jesus died and came to life again, then surely that shows he is the special one who has come from God." And at last, walking and talking and talking and walking, they arrived at Emmaus, where they started a meal. "Do you mind if I give thanks for the food?" said the stranger. So he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave thanks to God. And that was when the men knew that this stranger who they'd been walking with and talking with was no stranger at all. It was actually Jesus who had come back to life and had met with them as they walked on their way. And this morning, as we break bread, as we share wine together, we are reminded that as we walk to church, as we talk together, we can also meet with Jesus. We can eat and we can drink and we can remember that Jesus is alive. So this morning, so far we have looked at the different journeys we might take, all the different ways we might arrive here by the things we wear on our feet. And most of which we have, well, most of us have a few of these things that we wear on our feet, known as shoes or sandals or whatever we'd like to call them, for different occasions or because we love them. Does anyone love shoes? I know of people who love shoes and would just buy them. Oh, yes, my sister does. Or just buy them because they love them. But lots of us people have them because there's different activities that we do, so we need different shoes. Because the truth is that a lot of us spend our time journeying, doing many different things, travelling from one place to the next or travelling to different activities, whether it be running errands or dropping off children or shopping, working, exercising, walking around the house. We spend a lot of our time moving, and so we have shoes. We have lots of different shoes for different occasions and different things. That's a positive way of looking at it. Some of us might say we spend our time on the move because we have to. We're being pushed and pulled from one thing to the next in life. And therefore we spend a lot of our time tired. Maybe some of us feel slightly exhausted and we have to move around a lot just to get things done, just to meet the demands of those around us or the pressures we put on ourselves. Because for many of us, life is about movement. It's not about the choice of whether we sit around, can we do that now, can we do this? It's about having to move about to get things done. And of course, this is not new, and it's not something that we've suddenly decided in our generation. It's something that's happened all the time. If we look in the Bible, we see that people moved around a lot there. The pace of life was slower, of course, but they travelled around all the time in the Bible. And throughout history, this has also continued. People move, people journey, people travel. They're pushed and pulled in all directions to meet the demands of life. But what is interesting is that when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at God here on earth, a lot of his time was spent on the move too. We focus a lot, of course, on his teaching and his healing, the things he said, the things he did. But actually, most of his time was spent moving around. In fact, to be more precise, most of his time was spent being pushed and pulled by life in all directions to meet the demands of those around him. Even before he grew up and started his ministry, even when he was a little boy, Jesus was on the move. As a faithful Jew, he would have journeyed from Nazareth to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year on his feet, a journey that is about 65 miles if you go straight there, which they didn't because they walked around in a different direction. But he would have done that 3 times a year as a little boy. And then, of course, when he started his ministry, when he started preaching and teaching, he travelled around an awful lot because he wanted to spread the good news of God. In fact, he was always on the move. You only have to look at the Bible and just look at a few verses in the book of Matthew. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right at the beginning of his ministry. As Jesus was walking beside the sea, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in the synagogues. When Jesus entered Capernaum, when Jesus came into Peter's house, when they arrived on the other side of the lake, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. Jesus moved around an awful lot, meeting the needs of those around him. We don't talk about him moving around because it's not really that interesting, which is why I've chosen it today, on my first Sunday back. How exciting. But the point is that when God was on earth, he moved around. He didn't shut himself away in a synagogue or a quiet room or even a certain city. He didn't stay away from the demands of life that were put upon everyone, waiting for people to come to him in their busyness. Instead, he went out and he moved around among them, meeting them in the middle of daily life. He interacted with us because we're a people who are on the move. That's how we live. Now, as a people who are on the move a lot, you would also expect us to be a people who are prepared, would you not? Maybe. That's where your piece of paper comes in. Because what I want you to do is think about if you were going out for the day. It could be you were going walking, if that's your thing that you like doing, or cycling, if you enjoy that, or running, if you would want to do that. You're going out for the day, and you're going into the countryside, and you're not going to have the amenities around you that you normally would. I would like you to think about what things you would pack in your rucksack to be prepared for that trip. We're a people on the move. We often go out, but we get quite used to having shops around us. But this time, no, you're out in the middle of nowhere, enjoying the sunshine, but you need to be prepared. What would you put in your rucksack? Think around it. Write it down. Any little thing you take. I'll give you a few minutes just to think about that. All pencils are there, over there. Did it not work? Are the pens working? Oh, pens are rubbish. There's pencils here if the pens aren't. So sorry, cheap. You should never go for the cheap ones. Doesn't pay off. No. The pencils work anyway. How are we doing? Yeah? Okay. What do people have? Anyone? Well, I can't. Lunch. Yeah, I've got that. That's my top one, sandwiches. Anyone got anything else? Oh, what did you put? The tea, the thermos and the milk, and then the sandwiches. Okay, wonderful. Anything else? Sorry? iPod. But what if we were together? Hey, brilliant. I've got my mobile phone, so we'll be all right. Anything else? Water, yes. Andrea, very good. Yes. Oh, that's handy. Puncture kit for cycling, yes. A raincoat, you never know with our weather. Yes. Sun cream, yes, exactly. It could be all seasons. Plasters and chocolate. That's a variety, but yes, both, yes. Hankies, I've got that, yeah. Oh, nose always runs. Whatever the weather.
Maps.
Oh, that's very organised, Nick. Hat, yeah. Oh, yeah, I always forget the camera. Do you forget the camera? Well, I know, yeah, there is the camera on the phone. Anything else? Yes. Sorry? A compass. Oh, that is very organised. Yes. Miranda? Sunglasses, yeah. Yeah. Money, didn't put money. Waterproofs, yeah, waterproofs. Dogs. You'd put your dog in the bag. You'd take the dog, yeah, yeah. Anything else? Do you think that you're fully prepared for your day? Binoculars, a walking stick. Yeah.
The weather we've had is just snorkel
and that's the thing, isn't it? You could take all sorts of clothing for the weather. But, you know, when we're going to do a specific activity, we usually prepare ourselves. We prepare well. We take a bag and we put things in it. Some of us prepare a lot better than others. Some of us just think, oh, I'll manage. But some of us prepare a lot better than others. But generally, we try and take the things that we might need for the activity that we do. And we don't want to get caught out in the middle of nowhere unprepared. But in the daily movement of life, in the travelling around that we do every day, in the things that we come upon, in the routine of the activities we engage in, we can't always prepare. Life doesn't allow us to make all the preparations we need. Even for those of us who try to cover every eventuality, we can't be prepared for everything. There is always going to be the odd surprise. There is always going to be something out of our control. I want to read you a passage from the Bible. It's from the book of Matthew. It's a well-known story. It's Matthew chapter 14, and I'm starting at verse 14. It says this: When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Reading that story of the feeding of the 5,000, a story of a people who are on the move, we're very familiar with these crowds who come to meet with Jesus. We've probably heard this story a number of times. And therefore, we're not surprised anymore that they suddenly find themselves unprepared. That having been so engrossed in what they're doing, having been rushing around trying to get to Jesus, to get healed and to talk to him and to find out about him, suddenly they, or should I say the disciples, realise that the day's coming to a close. That the air's getting cooler, that they are miles from the nearest inhabitants, and all they have to eat are a few loaves and a couple of fish. They are extremely unprepared. So it seems practical that the suggestion of the disciples to send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food is carried out. And yet, of course, this is not what happens. Instead, Jesus takes the few loaves and fish, gives thanks for them, and hands them around, providing enough food for more than anyone who was gathered or could be gathered there. Because, you see, here, not only do we have a people who are on the move, engrossed in what they are doing that day, we also have a God who is determined to meet these people's needs. And so Jesus doesn't send them away to go and get resources and then continue with their daily lives. Instead, he feeds them where they're at, in the midst of the hustle and bustle of activity, in the middle of what they're doing. And he does this by accepting this pittance of bread and fish and turning it into the plenty of God, right there in the middle of a busy day. And you know, if we look past the fact that we're very familiar with the story, that it's talking about bread and fish and activities of a long time ago, it can actually be a real challenge to our lives of movement and journey. Because in the busyness of all we face every day, as we move from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, we can find ourselves running on empty a lot of the time. Just like these crowds in the story, we're just getting to the end of the energies that we have. And the reason being is that we often think, as the disciples did in this story, we often think that to replenish our resources, we need to go away from the busyness of life to stock up, or go away to fill up our rucksack, if you like, with all that we need, before we come back into the hustle and bustle of the things we do every day. We think we need to step out of life to fill up so we can carry on. And of course, we don't have time for that, so we end up running around empty and exhausted. Now, for many of us, filling up on these resources will mean going to church to get our fill before we go out in the week, or trying to get to a house group to do a Bible study to enable us to keep going, or sitting down for a quiet time to get recharged. That's what we've been told we should do. And it's good to do these things. This is part of our journey with God. We need to do these things. But they don't sustain us if this is all we do, or this is all we try and do. You know, it really doesn't help to come to church once a week, have a good service, when we're up against it on a Monday morning trying to get the children to school and rush around and get everything done with screaming and crying. That's just our house. And hollering. It doesn't help that, oh, that was a good service yesterday. It doesn't help at all. It doesn't help to have enjoyed a house group when we're sitting in a meeting getting totally frustrated by the person next to us and trying to be really, really calm. It doesn't help that we had a good Bible study. It doesn't help that we sat down 4 days ago and was quiet when we're rushing around, picking up the laundry, preparing dinner, sweeping the floor, answering the phone, all on our way out to the shops to buy something for tea so we can cook it before everyone gets home. It doesn't help to think, oh, well, I sat down 5 days ago and had a wonderful time, because we're busy trying to get it all done. And equally, it doesn't help to have been to church on a Sunday when on a Wednesday in the day we're sitting there desperately hoping someone will come and visit us because we're extremely lonely. It doesn't help to think, well, I saw people 4 days ago. And it certainly doesn't help when at 3 a.m. in the morning you're trying to get a screaming baby to sleep and they just won't sleep. Doesn't help that you had a good service. Because filling up on the things of God once, twice, even 7 times a week doesn't work on its own for a people who are on the move, who are engaged in things, who are busy, who are pushed and pulled by the demands of life. We can't prepare ourselves for life by stepping out of it every now and again to find God and then continue on. Because we can't prepare for all life is going to throw at us. We don't know what is going to happen. Because following God is not about learning to fill our resources so that then we're prepared for everything. It's about learning how, in the middle of life's stresses and strains and demands and constant problems, it's about learning how we can offer the little that we have to God so that he can give us plenty for what we need right there and then. So as a people on the move, we can learn to engage with God where we are at. Not thinking, oh, I wish I had time, but learning to engage with Jesus as we happen to be moving around, as we happen to be doing things, as we happen to be struggling with that person that's right next to us, or struggling with the long journeys we have to make to and from work. And learning that God can provide for us in the middle of what is happening, rather than stepping out of life to get that. For some of us, that might mean that we do get the occasional moment to have a cup of tea and to sit down and to just refocus ourselves. But for many, we will engage with God while we're moving about. It might be that we're going from one thing to another. What do we do with that time? Do we stress about what's coming up? Do we stress about what's gone before? Or do we spend that time engaging with God, offering it to him, saying, I can't do anything now, and asking for his help for what's about to come? It might be as we're hanging out the washing before we're rushing off to do something else, we just spend a few moments as we peg something on the line, we say a quick prayer. As we peg something else, we say something else to God. It might be as we're commuting, we've got our iPods, our iPads, our eyes, eye this, eye that. We could just load up something that we listen to instead of staring out the window and having a few moments to daydream about what we wish we could be doing. It really doesn't matter how we choose to engage in God with God in the busyness of what is going on. What matters is that instead of segregating life off into, well, I've got time with God at church there and then I'm busy, we bring God into our daily activities as well. We learn to meet with a God who is on the move as a people who are on the move. And we learn to meet with him in the middle of life, so that ultimately we might face all the challenges we have to face in his strength and not in our own strength and not on our own. Let's spend a few moments in quiet as we think about the week that we've got coming up, or maybe the week that we've just had, the way we dealt with certain situations, the problems that we're struggling with, the people that we're struggling with. And then we'll pray together. We're going to sing our final song together, Over All the Earth. We're going to invite God into every part of our lives, not only into this part, but as we move out into all the things we have to do. And during this song, we'll take up our offering as well. Let's stand together. Please do stay and have coffee and tea and chat together and share our lives with each other, as we are called to do. But also pray that as you go from here, that you would have a great week.